This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast, episode number 9, being recorded on Wednesday, March the 29th, 2006. Springtime, when a young man's fancy turns to baseball. And who better to offer advice on America's pastime, love, and tomatoes than the manager of the Baltimore Orioles himself, Earl Weaver. So sit back and learn. Peanuts, popcorn, beer, crazy manager. Peanuts, popcorn, beer, crazy manager. Hey, mister, you want a crazy manager? Lady, pass this one down.
Now, the Manager's Corner, with the thoughts and opinions of the American League's winningest manager, the Orioles' Earl Weaver. And now, to the Manager's Corner with Earl Weaver.
Bill Whitehouse, Earl, from Frederick, Maryland, wants to know why you and the Orioles don't go out and get some more team speed.
Team speed, for Christ's sake. You get fucking goddamn little fleas on the fucking bases, getting picked off, trying to steal, getting thrown out, taking runs away from you. You get them big cocksuckers that can hit the fucking ball out of the ballpark and you can't make any goddamn mistake.
Well, certainly this show is going to go down in history, Earl. Terry Elliott of Washington, D.C., wants to know why you don't use Terry Crowley as a designated hitter all the time.
Well, Terry Crowley's lucky he's in fucking baseball, for Christ's sake. He was released by the Cincinnati Reds. He was released by the fucking goddamn Atlanta Braves. We saw that Terry Crowley could sit on his fucking ass for 8 innings and enjoy watching a baseball game just like any other fan, and has the ability to get up there and break one open in the fucking ninth. So if this cocksucker mind his own business and let me manage the fucking team, we'd be a lot better off.
Well, certainly you've made your opinions known on the fans' questions about baseball, Earl, but let's get to something else. Alice Sweet from Norfolk wants to know the best time to put in a tomato plant.
Alice Sweet ought to be worried about where the fuck her next lay's coming from, rather than where her next goddamn tomato plant's coming from. If she'd get her ass out to fucking bars at night and go hustling around the goddamn street, she might get a prick stuck in her once in a while. I don't understand where these questions are coming from, Tom. That's about it from Manager's Corner. Go fuck yourself and the fuck with your show coming up next on the Baltimore Oriole Baseball fucking network.
The CIA had an opening for an assassin. After all the background checks, interviews, and testing were done, there were 3 finalists, 2 men and 1 woman. For the final test, the CIA agents took one of the men to a large metal door and handed him a gun. We must know that you follow instructions, no matter what the circumstances. Inside this room, you'll find your wife sitting in a chair. You have to kill her. The first man said, "You can't be serious. I could never shoot my wife." The agent replies, "Then you're not the right man for this job." The second man was given the same instructions. He took the gun and went into the room. All was quiet for about 5 minutes. Then the agent came out with tears in his eyes. "I tried, but I can't kill my wife." The agent replied, "You don't have what it takes. Take your wife and go home." Finally, it was the woman's turn. Only she was told to go into the room and kill her husband. She took the gun and went into the room. Shots were heard, one shot after another. Then they heard screaming, crashing, and banging on the walls. After a few minutes, all was quiet. The door opened slowly, and there stood the woman. She wiped the sweat from her brow and said, "You guys didn't tell me the gun was loaded with blanks. I had to beat him to death with a chair."
Clinton, liberals, dittos.
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Son of Easta, my friends! Son of Easta, and welcome! You have managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. That's right, this is Schnauzer Logic, episode number 9, being recorded on Wednesday, March the 29th, 2006. And my name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host, I'm your buddy, I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, and I am thrilled and delighted to invite you. No, to welcome you. I didn't have to invite you. You already showed up. like many guests to my parties, to another episode of Schnauzer Logic. We have a great, I know every week I say we have a great show. This week, absolutely guaranteed or your money back. This is an unbelievable, incredible show. First of all, we've got a couple of folks sitting in the studio today. We'll say hello to them in just a moment. John DeCoven of Win John DeCoven's Money is here live in person. We're going to be playing a round of Win John DeCoven's Money with his girlfriend. My guess is that she'll be able to kick his ass. Also sitting in the studio with us is our good friend, Sean Meehan, back from the dead. Parviz Vitali is not here. And what are we going to be talking about today? Oh, yeah. Sexiest woman in the world. We're going to talk about that. Some immigration issues going on, making a little bit of news. Want to talk about that. Of course, around to Win John DeCoven's Money. We've got the question of the week, which we want to get to. And we're going to clear up all the mystery about that Kip Adada sound that we play at the beginning of every show. But before we get going, let's punch down the buttons here and say, Son of Easton, and welcome first to our guest co-host this week, John DeCoven. Welcome in Son of Easton, John.
Son of Easton, Robin.
How
I'm
are
happy
you, my
to
friend?
Be here.
It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Such short notice. And sitting next to him, to my right, your left, stage left, on the right, audio right, the one, the only, Sean Meehan.
Son of Easton.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm back.
You look good.
I'm bigger than ever.
You're not going to show us your kidney, are you?
For a small fee.
It's great to have you here.
It's great to be here. It really is. It's nice to be back. It's nice to not do the show as a guest over a nasty little cellular link. And
yeah.
It just, to hear my own audio streaming through these fabulous earphones, these headphones, I'm excited.
Well, there's something to be excited about. Especially because we're going to get into the Kip Adada thing today.
Which I have very fond memories of.
That's good. And John DeCoven is sitting here. He came all the way down from Luxembourg. No, where do you live?
Pleasanton.
Pleasanton. And is it Pleasanton?
It's very pleasant there.
Who named it Pleasanton, by the way?
It was actually a general, and his name was General Pleasanton.
Really?
But they misspelled it or something. I don't know the whole history. Pleasanton.org, I think you can look it up.
You can. There's a website.
Pleasanton.org.
That's a nice voice for the radio.
You like that,
yeah.
Huh? A little
what
raspy.
What the hell's going
it's
on
okay.
there? What's
wrong
with you?
I kind of sound like Dusty Street. She used to be on KLOS.
I got nothing. You got anything?
No. Nothing. But I'm sure that Dusty was fabulous, just as you are, John.
Thank you, Sean.
And you're all excited about playing with John DeCoven's Money against your girlfriend, Helene, yeah?
I'm going to kick her ass.
Oh, well, okay, but apart from the sexual foreplay, are you really excited about playing?
I
is she
am.
Smart?
I think so.
you fucked already. You understand that. There was only one answer, and that was the infinitesimally small period of time that you had to say yes.
So tune in, because John will be playing Win John DeCoven's Money with his ex-girlfriend, and it should be a fabulous segment.
Okay, we'll be playing with that and a lot more. So we invite you, as always, to stick around and enjoy the show. Yeah, there you go. What are you? You're going to have to stop playing with that phone thing, my friend.
Okay.
We are 15 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Lodge of the podcast. And by the way, as always, you can listen to the show. We have a brand new streaming player on the website. It's www.schnauzerlogic.com. You were able to get the show on the website now, right?
Yeah, I actually just did the iPod.
Oh, you did the iPod thing. Oh, you got iTunes.
Yeah, I got iTunes.
It's about time.
You know,
only episode number 9.
You know, I have a little complaint. Can I ask you a question real quick?
Absolutely.
I
say to Parviz every week, can I stop you?
Well, the thing I was saying, I downloaded iTunes, which is great for the podcast, but then I had certain other songs that I downloaded legally, which it will not let me play in iTunes.
Well, probably they're Windows Media songs. iTunes won't play WMA songs unless they are unlocked.
Well, that's bizarre.
It's not bizarre.
Okay.
Well, we resolve that.
QED. It
QED,
is not bizarre.
It is not bizarre. Exactly. All right. Well, let's see. Before we get going, first of all, let's say hello as we do each and every week to our special friend, the stand-up comedian extraordinaire, Mr. Kip Adada. And, of course, Michael Zwirling, owner of KSCO Radio.
Stroke or unload.
Michael's a little hot this week. We've got the Vice President of the United States, Richard Cheney. Oh, wow. And his good friend, Harry Whittington. All right. So we got a big show today. I will tease it and let you guys know that I this week what we're going to do, probably later on in the show, I think, is we're going to play a little bit of the audio. Not a little bit. Actually, we're going to play the interview that led to this particular sound effect. And John asked me before the show today, he said, is that somehow enhanced in some way? Did you, add some? No, that is, in fact, the original sound, and you'll be able to hear it, because it made me laugh today when I was going through and pulling that. That was from June 26th, I think it was, in 2001. So almost 5 years ago was when we did that particular interview. And
you could imagine Harry Whittington trying to hang up a phone while being shot in the face by Dick Cheney.
It sounded a little something like this. Now, do you have a medic alert bracelet that we need to be aware of here? Or
No, everything's fine.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. You're like Tony Soprano. You get that kind of big lumbering. I mean, all respect, Don Johnson.
I need to lose a few. You're not telling me anything I don't know.
Do you have trouble sleeping? Do you have that whole sleep dyslexia?
I sleep like a baby.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No problems.
It's those with him.
And they sleep like a baby gazelle.
Well, I don't know. I got one of those Tempur-Pedic, those beds.
Oh, you got a nice one.
Yeah.
You got a nice mattress.
And why I did, because they say, your partner, you won't feel them rustling around. And thing actually works. My girlfriend cheated on me last week. I didn't even know about it. Okay.
Wait. Hey, listen, hold on. I got background music, but if you're going to be doing that, my friend.
That killed last week when I did that joke.
Give me
the
punchline again.
It was, it works great. Last week, my girlfriend cheated on me. I didn't even know about it.
Is that how it was last week?
No, it really got, that got a great reaction.
Give it to me one more time. Give me the punchline one more time.
My girlfriend cheated on me last week, and I didn't even know about it. Okay.
All right.
This will be a negative incentive for any future comedy on this program.
All right.
I premiered that joke at where was I? Castlewood Country Club. We were doing a show. I premiered it there in a stodgy crowd, and they loved the joke. That's all I'm saying.
A stodgy crowd.
Yes.
Over. you're out of your rhythm here. You're used to sitting in that seat.
Yeah. Because from over here it's like a tennis match. I can just watch you. I'm in a new seat. I'm in a different seat. This is not my seat.
Never paid attention in any of this.
You
want
to switch?
No, because
you're going to need to get out of the room. We're playing Win John Nikovin's Money.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
How much you got on today, by the way?
We're going to be playing for probably like a dinner.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Her name is Helene.
Helene.
What does Helene do?
Helene is, she works for Enterprise Rent-A-Car.
Okay. I've heard of them.
The insurance, not, renting cars, but like in their insurance claims department or something.
You mean if I rent an Enterprise car and then I kill somebody?
Yeah,
they'll take care of it for me?
She would be the one that you talk to.
Well, this
she
is something.
She loves Enterprise, too. It's like they have her brainwashed there or something.
Oh, boy. I'm concerned for the health of your relationship after this program. I think you may have to lose just to try and smooth things over.
Did she play golf?
No. But
can you have a relationship with a woman that doesn't play golf?
No, that's fine. She has a great sense of humor. I mean, that's the most important thing.
Yeah?
She'd have to be with me anyways, right?
No. Do you see you've got a bad image of yourself because of the chirping cricket. It hurt him.
No, but it's not like she helps me write material. She doesn't mind that I do jokes about her,
which is
very not at all. And
all
the more derogatory, the better.
And where'd you meet her?
So I actually met her online.
Really?
Yes.
An online connection?
I don't know if this has been actually disclosed publicly because, it's always kind of weird, but we're announced breaking news on the Schnauzer Logic podcast.
Yeah.
That's it. We just broke it that we met online.
I have not known any successful relationships to come from online. Now, I've seen it on things like Dateline. I've seen it on 60 Minutes 2.
Right.
But I have never actually, in my personal experience...
What do you mean successful?
Well, you're not helping my cause right now.
Well no, no. You've broken through the threshold.
Okay.
You've pierced that membrane of tragedy that you're did you out pierce on the membrane? Other side.
I pierced a few membranes, yes. Yes,
did
I
you?
Have.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, wait a second. I thought I've had some success in online dating.
Well, I'm talking about full-on romantic success. You've met some people you'd liked and who've liked you. And you could have had relationships, but I believe in some cases there were geographic issues. There were where you're at in life issues. You never had a relationship that went for, say, 6 months.
That's not true.
Is that not true? Am I misremembering this?
My friend Laura. I met her online. We dated for over a year. We went to Paris together.
That's right.
I even remember that.
Okay. I stand corrected. For some reason, I was not thinking that Laura was an online... You know, another thing I'm realizing now as I backpedal is you always tell the horrible online stories.
Well, yes.
Which leads... It skews the whole thing for me. I believe that there are only horrible online stories.
Well, there are horrible
There's a lot of horrible online stories.
Yeah, well, maybe we can play Worst Date Ever when we get back. That's a game we hadn't thought about before.
Oh, I got... Well, I'm sure we all got doozies.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break at this point. We're going to play some tunes. This week, we have music from bands in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Dublin, Ireland, Austin, Texas, San Jose, Aalborg, Denmark, Helsingborg, Sweden, Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada, and East Lansing, Michigan. I'm not sure how many of those we'll get to, but we got some good tunage this week.
I thought maybe if I came down, you'd play those guys from Modesto.
Oh, right. Absolutely. All right, maybe we'll get to them today. Okay. We'll see what we can do about that.
That'd be cool.
All right, I think what we're going to do is we're going to start off with the band. It's Dollar Gen, and it's from they're from Austin, Texas, and their song is Every Time. All right, so we'll do that. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more. Maybe we'll play Win John DeCoven's Money, okay?
Yeah, let's get her out of the way.
Yeah.
Then we can have some fun. I'm just kidding, sweetie.
Does she live with you?
No. Well, I mean, there's Tampax at my place, but I don't know, not officially. Right?
That's the first toehold.
Well, that was on a Seinfeld. That's why, you know, where they were debating whether the woman lived there, and then George as Jerry, does she have Tampax there? And that was kind of the...
That was it.
That was
That's
it.
How you knew.
Exactly.
What if she's no longer menstruating? How would we be able to tell them?
You can't move in if you're not
yeah, I mean,
menstruating. You can't actually.
What if
actually.
She's perimenopausal? See, there's a word that no man should know, or transgendered woman. I mean, just,
I don't.
Actually,
I don't.
No
even,
one should know that word.
I don't know it. What does it mean?
I'm not telling you.
Okay.
It means you're like right at the end.
Nah.
I think. I believe it does.
That's the great thing. She knows this is all in fun. I love her. She's great. We're going to have a good time, but I am going to kick her ass and win John DeCoven's money.
Okay. You heard it here first. John DeCoven, Sean Meehan, Robin Goldstein, all of us are inviting you to stick around and listen to Win John DeCoven's Money right here on Schnauzer Logic.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Just in case you ever felt like me, let it go, don't you ever set it free. Just in case you ever disagree, do so with them, not with me. We'll be right back.
We feel that in every way, this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Bristol!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We are 29 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. My name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host, buddy, and pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. I almost forgot. Sitting across from John DeCoven, son of Easter John.
Son of Easter Robin.
And Sean Meehan, son of Easter Dr. Meehan.
Son of Easter.
That was a good tunage.
That was great.
You were asking me during the break why it is that we play the songs in real time instead of recording them and inserting them later on. And I said part of it's because I want us to be able to have a break and talk about things, what's working, what's not working, mix things up. But the other thing is I like the music. It kind of gets me pumped. It keeps me going.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
Those guys from Austin, really, they pulled out all the stops for that one.
You know, I was looking for something that was rock and roll, and I thought to myself, let's go to Texas. Let's go to Austin. Right? You can never go wrong there. All right. So... are you excited?
I'm excited.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. So on the
this
line with us.
This is for some bragging rights for a while.
Okay, fine. So we're going to go to the Schnauzer line. There you go. And on the phone with us is John DeCoven's girlfriend, Helene. Welcome to Schnauzer Logic, Sona Vista.
Thank you so much, Sona Vista.
All right. So where are we calling you today?
I am in lovely Oakland.
Oh, you're in Oakland.
I am.
All right. You're not in Pleasanton.
No, not at the moment.
Tell me how you met John.
Don? Which version do I get to say?
No, I already told him how we met.
We met on the website Craigslist.
Oh, you did?
Jews who don't want to pay for a dating website.
Okay. Very nice. Now, I know that I've known John for a number of years at this point. I think over 5 years, I think I've known him.
I think it's actually right around five.
Yeah, right around 5 years. I've known John for quite a while, and I know that he's only attracted to beautiful and brilliant women. So having not met you, I assume that you are, in fact, a beautiful and brilliant woman. The question I have for you is, what attracted you to John?
His eyes, his kindness, his religion, or at least his affiliation.
Did you let your membership lapse there, DeCoven?
Oh, is there supposed to be more?
There doesn't have to be more. Love is a fickle thing.
Oh, that's great.
All right.
And our door may be cooling even as we speak. So
now you don't have a computer, right? So you're not going to be able to listen to this program later on and hear all the things that John said about you.
I'll make him play me a version. He may edit it, but I'll hear it.
Okay, that's fine. All right, good. So we're going to play Win John DeCoven's Money. This is a test of knowledge. It's 10 questions. I'd like to say that there are no right answers, but in fact, there are right answers along with wrong answers. And we're going to let you go first at this point so that John is now leaving the room.
He's exiting the studio.
John has accused us of cheating in the past, claiming that the contestants don't necessarily leave the room.
There's been no impropriety.
And I'm actually aware of that, and that's why I think he's going to win, just so he can have those bragging rights he was just telling you about.
John is now going through my underwear drawer in the other room. Okay, now the fact that John is laughing means he heard me and he didn't go far enough away.
Yeah, I don't want him to win out of default cheating.
Let me tell you, my friend, you have very, very, very little chance of that happening. We have given John numerous opportunities on numerous occasions to answer the same question over and over again.
And he has. To his credit, he has.
Answered in the same way. Wrong.
Okay.
All right. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Here we go. We're going to start the music in 3, 2, 1. All right. Here we go. Question number one. Who said, from each according to his abilities, for each according to his needs?
Ben Franklin.
Okay. You say Ben Franklin. Okay, number two. In what city is the Baseball Hall of Fame located?
Detroit.
Okay, Detroit. Okay, number three. Neil Armstrong was the first man to set foot on the moon. Who was the second?
John Glenn.
Okay.
Number four. This, you may not be old enough to know this. In TV's Man from U.N.C.L.E., name one of the two secret agents.
Oh, my. U.N.C.L.E.
Well, that was the name of the organization they worked for, but okay. there were two agents. One was played by Robert Vaughn, one was played by David McCollum.
And just give him a name. Just Tom.
Tom, okay. We got Tom. Both named Tom. All right. Name one of the two United States that have rectangular borders.
Colorado.
All right. She said Colorado. All right. Name the physicist who's considered the father of the atomic bomb.
Okay. Give me just a second and I might pull this.
Okay. No worries.
Because it's going to be edited.
He has a fund.
He has a what?
Fund.
Pass.
Okay, that's a pass on that one. Who hosted the very first episode of Saturday Night Live?
Oh, that's a good one.
Thanks.
Hosted.
You have people there helping you?
No.
Need a lifeline?
No, I wish. I'm, like, scanning my brain for Saturday Night Live people from, like, that first...
It was 1975.
Okay, thank you. 75.
Yeah.
I don't want to pass, though. Give me just one more minute.
All right. Well, we're actually...
And I'm not on the computer, and I'm not... I'm here with a glass of wine by myself. So.
Okay. The best way to take these kind of standardized time tests...
Oh, really? Okay, then I was
going to
say, like, Gene Wilder, but...
Okay, Gene Wilder. Okay, let's see. We actually ran out of music. We have to start the music again. But that's okay. What the hell? We're going to give you extra time here today. All right, in the classic Warner Brothers cartoons, who was the voice of Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, and Porky Pig?
It's, Is it Mel Blanc?
Okay. What world-famous architect coined the word carport?
John Lindsay Jr.
Okay.
I love his work.
He was also mayor of New York.
For some comic relief. But...
And final question. In mythology, who was the chief of the gods? And we'll take either Roman or Greek mythology for your answer. Chief of the gods in mythology.
Athens?
I'm sorry, who?
Athens, A-T-H-E-N-S, or like...
You're saying A-T-H-E-N-S. Athens was the chief of the gods?
I'm guessing, obviously.
Head god.
I don't know.
Okay, so we're saying Athens.
Okay, yeah.
All right, here we go. Okay, so...
Horrible.
let's see. So, who said, from each according to his abilities, for each according to his needs? Didn't get that one right. City
Did I get any right?
City in baseball.
Yes.
Yes. One of the two states that have a rectangular border, Colorado. You got that one right, so that's one for you. And what else did she get right?
Cartoons.
She got Mel Blanc right. Okay. So you got two. All right. John DeCoven, come in and claim your money. All right, here he comes.
All right.
Is he a nice guy to you?
Yes, very.
Okay.
And I know he doesn't know the one about the second man who stepped on the moon because we've actually had that conversation.
Yeah. I don't even think he knows that the Earth goes around the sun, quite frankly. So I think you could actually convince him that eclipses are bad juju. And all right. So Helene got two right.
Oh, were you even supposed to tell me that?
Yes.
Okay. I forgot the rules.
In the rules, she got two right. So that you know, okay. She got two right. All right.
Okay.
So you got to beat two.
All right.
How you feeling? You feeling cocky?
Feeling great.
All right.
How you doing, baby?
Hi, cutie. I'm good.
Okay. Good.
All right. Here we go, Dr. DeCoven.
Feeling
in
good.
3, 2, 1. All right. Who said, "From each according to his abilities, for each according to his needs"?
Pass.
No. In what city is the Baseball Hall of Fame located?
Canton, Ohio.
No.
Akron, Ohio.
No. Neil Armstrong was the first man on the moon. Who was the first American in orbit?
Oh, I know that one.
You should know I gave her a different question, but I figured...
No, I know that one. It wasn't Neil Armstrong. It was Alan Shepard.
All right, but that's not the real question. The real question is, who was the second man on the moon?
How would I know that?
Well, it could be Alan Shepard. You want to guess Alan Shepard?
Sure.
No, that's wrong. In TV's The Man from U.N.C.L.E., name one of the two secret agents.
Elvis Costello?
Close.
Elvis Costello.
Why, because he gave him a first and a last name? No. Yeah. Name one of two U.S. states that have a rectangular border.
Two of U.S. states that have a rectangular border.
Hmm? That means it's parallel on both sides.
All right. Texas?
That is the laughter of love, my friend. That's what you're hearing over the phone line.
You mean both ends?
Yeah, okay, that's wrong. Okay, number six. Name the physicist considered the father of the atomic bomb.
No idea.
All right, you realize.
I know.
Helene is winning. I know. Okay, number seven. Who hosted the first episode of Saturday Night Live?
Well, that's something I should know.
Actually, most of these are things that you ought to have some.
First episode of and I just saw a whole thing about Saturday Night Live on the E! Channel.
I love how people have all these stories. Okay. In the classic Warner Brothers cartoons, who was the voice of Bugs Bunny?
I don't know it, but I'm guessing she did.
Yes, she did.
Right? Hold on.
Okay.
Because she only knew the cartoon ones on the ones you did last time. I have no idea.
All right. And what world-famous architect coined the word carport? I'm feeling so stupid that came up with a tiebreaker.
Considering I only know one famous architect, I'd have to say Frank Lloyd Wright.
That's correct. All right. And the final question
is... Oh, I got a chance to tie.
You got a chance to tie. Okay, Maybe we'll get to the tiebreaker. Okay. Oh, shit. In mythology, who is the chief of the gods? The head god, numero uno god. We'll take either Greek or Roman mythology.
Zeus?
Yes!
It's a tie! We're going into extra innings!
I think this is like the first time in history, by the way.
Oh, man.
Maybe you were meant for me.
A two for Tuesday on a Wednesday.
Oh, my God.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read the question aloud. You'll both hear it, and the first person to shout out the right answer will be the winner of the contest. All right?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Here's the question. Can you hear me okay, Helene?
Yeah, what if we both don't know it?
Just keep shouting out answers till you get it right.
This could be a long show.
That's right. It's all about the comedy. We really don't give a shit about the contest. All right. Who was the first woman to direct a film that grossed more than $100 million?
Next.
Woman director.
I can't even come up with
Nora
the name.
Nora Ephron.
Nope.
I'm guessing.
But we're going to give it to her just because she guessed.
Is that your only question?
I'm not done guessing.
I'll know.
You'll know it as soon as I say it.
Right. Can you give us a year?
It was 1988. Tom Hanks.
Interestingly. Yes!
What? What'd she say? What?
I'm assuming that that's correct.
Yes, Penny Marshall.
Yes, that's it.
I was just going to say there was a related question when last you played.
Was it?
Because there was the cat from... Laverne
and Shirley.
The cat from Laverne and Shirley?
Boo Boo Kitty.
Yeah.
Right. Boo Boo Kitty, I knew that one.
She knew Boo Boo Kitty.
Very,
very nice.
Oh, you just pulled that out. That was exciting.
Congratulations, sweetie.
All right, so let's see. So for the edification of the audience, who said from each according to his abilities, for each according to his needs, we're going to have Dr. Me in here get all 10 in a row.
Oh, I don't think I'm going to, but that was Marks.
Karl Marx. And what city is the Baseball Hall of Fame located?
You know, since he said Canton, Ohio, where the Football Hall of Fame is located.
I mean, I should have got partial credit then.
It completely flushed out where...
And then he said Akron, where Goodyear is located. I think that's the Rubber Hall of
the
Fame.
The baseball one's in
Florida.
You
can add a half point on that, but I still win.
It's Cooperstown, New York.
Cooperstown.
Who could not know that? Neil Armstrong was the first man to set foot on the moon. Who was the second? It was Edwin Buzz Aldrin. Sorry. I should have told you. You knew that one, though.
Yeah, because we talked about that last night.
In TV's The Man from U.N.C.L.E., name one of the two secret agents.
Napoleon Solo.
Played by?
Robert Vaughn.
Very good.
By the way,
Ilya Kuryakin.
Yes.
Played by the other guy.
David McCullum.
Thank you.
Did you understand my Elvis Costello reference, by the way?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Because he has a song called Man from U.N.C.L.E.
I had no idea. Do you know what U.N.C.L.E. stood for?
I did it one time.
United Network Command for Law Enforcement.
Yeah.
And the head of the agency was...
An old guy.
Mr. Waverly.
Yeah.
Played by...
Okay, what years were that on?
1964 to 1968. Okay. All right. So you're dating a baby. Very nice. One of the two U.S. states that have a rectangular border. Helene got one of them right. It's Colorado. The other one is Wyoming. The home, of course, of our vice president, Richard Cheney. And I think Harry Whittington. All right. Name the physicist considered to be the father of the atomic bomb.
I would go with Robert Oppenheimer, but I guess Albert Einstein could have also been considered because he wrote the letter that kicked off the whole thing.
But he didn't have a fund.
He did not have a fund.
There was
though.
No Einstein fund, but no. There is an Oppenheimer fund.
Yes, there is.
Okay. Who hosted the first episode?
So what was the answer?
It was Robert Oppenheimer. Okay. Who hosted the first episode of Saturday Night Live in 1975?
I don't know, but I'll say Buck Henry.
It was a very good guess. It was George Carlin.
George Carlin.
Okay. Excellent. A classic Warner Brothers, obviously Mel Blanc. Famous architect.
Mel Blanc.
Shit. Fuck. Famous architect. John got that right. It, in fact, is Frank Lloyd Wright. And in mythology, the chief of the gods in Greek mythology is
Zeus.
Right? And in Roman mythology?
Jupiter.
Very nice. Well, there you go. Hey, wow. So you won, and we asked John, of course, the question before, which is what you're going to win. So what is she going to win, John?
I'll take her out to dinner.
Monkey loving? What?
How about both?
Yeah, okay. You get both.
We've either. Made a love connection. We'll be back in 2 and 2.
Did you have fun?
Yeah.
All right, good. These are tough questions. I got to be honest with you. Do you watch game shows? Are you like a Jeopardy kind of person or not so much?
Occasionally. I like game shows, but Jeopardy is a little above my head.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Wheel of Fortune girl.
Oh. And are you able to solve them? I'm never able to solve those.
I'm brilliant at Wheel of Fortune.
Really?
I'm
is that
a word
true?
Girl. I'm visual. I can get
it
down
terrific.
Really quick. I started watching Wheel of Fortune when I was like 4. That's how I learned how to spell.
So who is the host? Is it still Pat Sajak and Vanna
mm-hmm.
White?
Mm-hmm.
He must be like the Crypt Keeper now. I mean, he must be.
Well, you know, the old host on Wheel of Fortune was the guy from Love Connection.
Was it Chuck Woolery?
No.
No,
Chuck Woolery? Yes, it was Chuck Woolery.
Was it really?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I heard that too.
And that was a long time ago. They didn't give away money. They had this island of prizes.
Dun, dun, dun,
I remember you picked those out.
And you could put it on account, right?
Right.
Or a gift certificate, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
I wasn't going to bet John anything if I won because I honestly thought that he was going to cheat and hear all the questions.
Well, we weren't going to let that happen.
Have to kick my ass.
We run
just another one of my great qualities. I'm an honest guy.
Yes, you are.
And he was scrupulously honest about this.
Now, have you guys gone on vacation together yet?
Yeah, we went to Palm Springs for New Year's.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah.
And does he snore?
Yes, he does. Very loudly.
And is that like over time just going to become the kind of thing that you want to basically put a pillow in his face until he stops breathing?
Let me think about it.
Okay.
We can call you next week and find out. No, what it is I move to the couch, but eventually he's going to be the one moving to the couch.
All right. Well, listen, you're a very good sport and a great and gracious winner. We thank you very much for playing Schnauzer Logic with us.
A great and gracious what?
Sport.
The other word.
Gracious.
Winner.
Winner.
Oh, yes. A fabulous winner.
Yes, you're a big winner.
Thank you.
Although, you were the closest person ever to losing to me.
What kind of twisted, fucked-up head are you?
I don't get what
you're
saying.
I think you're getting to the couch a lot sooner than you think, buddy. That's
Wait, that's weird. She beat you.
Right.
I don't get that comment, hon.
I'll explain it to you later.
Okay.
You understand she beat you?
No, she beat me, but by the smallest margin of any other person.
I see.
So,
well,
so
I guess you're saying like I said, we're equal.
So what you're saying is that if we...
I don't know
what you're saying.
You found your life partner.
Exactly.
It's just another fabulous day here. Our work here is done.
I see
murder-suicide in the near future. Okay. Oh, listen, Helena, it was lovely to meet you as well. Thank you so much. You're a wonderful winner
and
a winning contestant, and hopefully we'll have a chance to play with you again. Take care.
I look forward to it.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye, y'all.
All right.
She sounds sweet.
She's very sweet.
She's too good for you.
By half a question.
We're equal. There's, you know, it's like
She has some bad qualities?
Well, we all have bad qualities.
Well, I mean, what? Things that, like, get under your skin?
Yeah.
Like sure. What?
Well, I don't want to get into it here. But overall, it's nobody is 100% perfect.
No,
you draw the
not.
Ben Franklin line, and you got the good and the bad.
Is it like a habit kind of thing, like something that she does that initially seemed alluring, and now
well,
is?
Let's move on. We have much more interesting things to talk.
Well,
about.
Well, I'm just kind of curious.
You got Kipadada.
Is it like a fragrance that you don't like? She has like she some kind of the fragrance that she likes is not to your liking.
No, everything's
your line here, John. We continue to make progress
peachy.
In Iraq. We continue to. We're moving ahead.
Let's talk about the sexiest women.
And I think that's going to help you.
Here's what I love about her is that one of the things is I can freely talk about that and it will not bother her at all.
All right.
I mean, that's a cool chick, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Well, you've run over the time again here on the on the button thing, so we'll have to start it up one more time. Hold on. All right. Well, we have like a little sound bed.
Okay.
And we're supposed to like finish while the sound bed is running and then go into the music and then go out. But we talked so much that we ran out the sound bed.
What are we doing?
We're grooving.
Oh, okay, we don't need to say anything.
We never need to say anything. Okay. That's not why we do the show. We don't do the show because we need to say anything. We do the show because we have things to say, my friend. Well, she seemed lovely.
Oh, she is.
She really did.
She seemed lovely. Nice. And
you did catch on to something, though, that you didn't really bring up with her. It's the age.
You need to be actually talking into the microphone.
Are we?
Always.
Or you're just listening to me?
No,
or are we on the air?
Everything is on the air.
Okay, then
I will decide
later.
She's younger than you are.
No, I mean, it's not a lot younger. I'm 40. She's 35. But she's actually a very
old 35?
Young 35. Yeah, she's very young 35. I mean,
so,
and
so she's like, what, like she's like 1,047 months.
She's a young-minded, nubile hottie.
Damn, that sound.
That's okay. It's just pretend I'm a smoker.
All right, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna play. We're gonna go to Denmark. We're going to go to Jeannie Dean from Aalborg, Denmark, and we're going to play Wasted. How's that sound to you, all right?
Sounds great.
All right. You couldn't be any less interested.
I'm excited
yeah,
about it.
I know you are. I know you are. People are like, oh, just like people sitting around and talking to each other.
It's
how like hard is that?
FM.
I just kind of, yeah, how hard could that possibly be? You're right. Not hard at all. All right. So we're going to play a little bit of tunage. We'll come back on the other side. We'll be doing some more. Robin Goldstein, Sean Meehan, and John DeCoven sitting in the guest seat today. And you... Stick around. You're going to want to hear what's coming up next. I guarantee it.
Stick around for more Schnauzer Logic.
Sunday. flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're coming up on the end of the first hour of this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Being recorded on Wednesday, March 29th, 2006. Robin Goldstein, host, buddy, and pal. Straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman. Pat attorney with our sense of humor and a master degree in city planning. www.schnauzerlogic.com is the website. Robin@schnauzerlogic.com is the email address. We've also got a page over on MySpace. It is www.myspace.com/schnauzerlogic. And let's welcome back our guest co-host today, John DeCoven, son of Easter John.
Son of Easter Robin, son of Easter Sean.
Not really a guest co-host, but he's been missing in action for a few weeks.
Sean Meehan, son of Easter,
welcome back.
Son of Easter, working deep undercover.
And did you kill your wife when the CIA asked?
Fortunately, the gun was loaded, so I didn't have to do any of the dirty work.
All right. So the question of the week this week, unfortunately, the question of the week went up a little bit late. It went up a little bit later than I would have liked, but nobody tackled it. Usually on the website, a couple of people will tackle it.
I was saving it because I knew I was going to be here.
Okay. So, I don't know what that means.
Well, I was going to give my answers here.
Just spend some more time clearing your throat. That'll fill up the rest of the show. Okay. Don't worry about it. Just keep coughing and, it's delightful. It makes for great radio. I can't tell you how happy I am that you're able to come here today with the plague, as far as I can tell.
I think I could add a nice sound bed of nose whistling.
That's what Parviz does. Parviz would be like...
I'm sorry, I didn't think it was going to be that
so
bad.
So Parviz would do that and be like, okay, step away from the microphone screen, you know? And I figured, oh, thank God Parviz is not here. I love him like the brother that I never fucked, but nevertheless, you know? And so here's John. You sounded fine on the phone. Well, you sounded fine in your emails. I mean, I couldn't tell.
Yeah, right. No, this all just stabbed, and I'll be okay.
Yeah, well, I'm not worried about your health. Do you understand? I don't give a shit about whether you'll be okay. What I care about is the audio quality of this show. All right. So the question of the week was...
Now, this question may have some bearing in the next couple of years.
Maybe. So I'd read a poll in the San Jose Mercury News, but I think it actually had come from USA Today, and it said, do you think that America is ready for a female leader? Do you believe the nation is ready to elect a female president? And the online poll said, yes, it's about time, only 34%. No, most voters would not vote for a woman, 38%. And maybe, depends on who the candidate is 28%. So the question of the week was sort of generalizing off of that, because obviously here in the United States, everyone's talking about Hillary Clinton. I think that's what the initial thought is. Although Condoleezza Rice may throw her
coming
bra
up
the
strong.
Ring.
Coming
absolutely.
Up strong.
And so the question is, rank the order in which you think the United States will see, assuming at some point we'll see one of these, a woman president, a black president, a Jewish president, an Asian president, a Hispanic president, some combination of the above or other. So you seem like you're really excited about answering this question.
Well,
so
no, I just thought we already had our first black president. Wasn't that Bill Clinton? Okay.
I'll give you the rim shot.
I mean, I don't know. Okay. It's weird trying to do comedy without an audience.
What am I? Yeah, people did call Bill Clinton the first black president, but, and with the exception of the pigmentation, I think they would have been accurate.
There you go.
See, when he does it, it's funny.
And the thing is, actually, if Hillary became president, you would actually get your first woman and Jewish president at the same time. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
No, it doesn't really matter.
Well, because she did that interview once where she said she was like Jewish. She was like 180th Jew, and she claimed to be a Jew.
Well, in 1936, that would have been a real problem. Right. But...
And they're laughing at you.
But even though you've given us some amazing comedy just now, you haven't answered the fucking question.
Okay, my answer is I think we'll have a woman president before any of those others.
You think we'll see a woman before we see a black person?
Yes, definitely.
Or an Asian or Hispanic? What about Matt Santos? No, wait, that's the West Wing. Okay. All right, I'll hit it.
I just think because you got Hillary Clinton and Condoleezza Rice, I mean... two strong contenders right there.
Yeah, but do you think that people will really vote for either one of them?
I don't really know, but this is very interesting. 5 years ago, I would have said a black president.
Black man.
A black man before a woman of any ethnicity. But now, clearly, there are no blacks that seem to me to be in a position of leadership to assault the major party nomination viably.
What about Tiger Woods?
The only guy would be
Barack Obama.
Chicago.
Right, yeah. But he's just, he's a first-term senator. Even Hillary understood that she had to kind of get her bona fides as someone in the Senate before she could go ahead and make the leap.
Well, she had one term in the Senate before she made her leap, right?
Right.
Before she threw her hat.
And Barack just got in like last year.
All right. What you're assuming, therefore, is that Hillary will not be elected before Obama decides to run.
You're
assuming the opposite.
I'm assuming the opposite now. I think
she will be elected before he decides to run.
Well, let's put it this way. I think with Condoleezza Rice and with Hillary Clinton, there is a significant opportunity for a woman to take the presidency in this next election. But I don't see any opportunity for a black, an Hispanic, an Asian. I don't think Lieberman has a chance. I don't really see a Jewish candidate. I don't see anyone else of any ethnicity in the running for getting a major party nomination. Certainly in this next election cycle. And with the exception of Barack Obama, I'm not sure I see anyone in that position for the following election.
All right. So you think it was a horrible question, is what you're saying?
No. I think it was amazing because I don't think that 5 or 10 years ago anyone thought that we could even potentially be looking at a race where both the Republicans and Democrats nominate a woman.
Yeah, but that won't happen.
Well, 5 years ago, Colin Powell, people were thinking he would run for president.
And that's about the time when I would have said we'll have a black president long before we had a woman president. So I just blow with the wind.
So what's interesting to me is that isn't the question that I was looking for. Here's what I think is interesting, all right? You're answering the question as though it merely depends upon whether there is a qualified candidate who meets one of these criteria. But I don't think that's really the question. The question is, will people vote for a qualified candidate?
Culturally ready.
That's really what I'm going.
Each one of those people. Well,
that wasn't where I was going. But since you fucked around and ruined the question and kind of,
I'm willing to take that on too.
Okay.
I think that we are culturally ready to elect a woman, and I think that is
before electing a Jew.
I think that we are culturally ready to elect a woman before we are ready to elect a Jew. I think we are culturally ready to elect a black person before we are ready to elect a Jew.
Really?
Yes.
You think it's the family values thing?
I think
the whole sacrificing the first young and cutting off the end of the penis thing is...
I think
that'll get in the way of gathering votes?
The fact of the matter is, this country is becoming militantly Christian, and until or unless I see that trend reversing, and I've seen it magnifying over the last 20 or 25 years, certainly since the election of Ronald Reagan, I do not think that a candidate with other religious views than Christianity has a viable chance to succeed in our current cultural milieu.
Really? There's no way to overcome that.
Here's why I think a woman would be, I agree with Sean, if Hillary becomes president, who's also going to be in the White House with her? It's not a trick question.
It's Bill.
Is this a joke? I thought this is...
No, so what I'm saying is you can still get a woman...
How white is it?
You can still get a woman president in the White House where the husband can still have those Christian values and kind of control it that way, where if you got a Jew or a black person in the White House, those values are totally different. So that's why I think a woman will become president.
See, I think
first.
This is really interesting. I don't think she has a fucking chance in hell.
I hope she doesn't.
But I mean...
Aside from that, realistically.
Yeah, she has no fucking chance. And a nomination of Hillary Clinton to become the Democratic candidate is another sign of major brain damage of the Democratic Party. And I think that's not the way to look at it. It is the story of Br'er Rabbit. Right? And Farmer Brown, like, please don't throw me in the briar patch. Please don't throw me in the briar patch. There is nothing that would make the Republicans cream their collective panties more than to have a Clinton at the head of the Democratic ticket. All of the shit for 8 years they would drag up again, and you would never, ever get to the issues. They could run, they could run a stalking horse. They could run a wooden horse. They could run,
It worked for the Greeks.
They could run a saw horse. They could run, John Duchovny. He's pretty horse. They could run.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I think it would be a disastrous decision.
I stepped on it. You did.
Do it again.
That's what I was looking for.
I think it would be a disastrous decision, but there is an interesting aspect to the whole thing. Where is Condoleezza Rice's negative? You know, one of the things that, I don't know if you've heard, it's been in the news recently, that Karl Rove may be helping the investigation into the outing of Valerie Plame. He may be assisting in recovering emails and documents that were apparently lost by the vice president's staff. And it has long been my contention that they want to get rid of Cheney. And what would they do? They'd bring in Condoleezza Rice. I think she's the heir apparent. I think that's what they want to do. I would be very surprised if by the end of the second term of this administration, Condoleezza Rice is not the vice president of the United States.
Wow.
And will
run.
It's
quite a prediction.
It is quite a prediction, but it's one I've been making for about the last 6 months, and I still feel comfortable with
it. How do you feel about John Duchovny winning an episode of Win John Duchovny's Money?
I think we'll see an Asian first. I think.
Thank you, Sean.
No, John, you almost did it today.
Almost.
I was very proud of him.
I was here.
It was the most exciting episode, though, because we came down to the last question.
Well, I'm glad I wrote up a tiebreaker.
Yes,
I didn't realize I might need two tiebreakers because you guys wouldn't know the answers to any of them. I suppose it's possible you could get 10 out of 10 wrong and then also miss the tiebreaker. That had not occurred to me. You know, I'm used to dealing with people of very, very advanced mental capacity. You know, Parviz got a 93 on his plumber's exam. So
that's a whole other topic right there.
So
I was like, I have a live stream to be a commercial plumber.
Well, it wasn't his live stream.
Oh, it wasn't? Oh, okay.
No. Now you're just being silly. All right. Well, I think we've ground this one into the down. Tell you what we'll do. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Let's play a little Kip a Dot when we come back, all right?
I love it.
And then we can talk about the sexiest woman. And then we can see where we go from there, all right?
Sure.
All right.
Sounds good.
I was born almost in East Lansing. Could we hear them at some point today?
We can.
Excellent.
We can. Tell you what, though. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play a short song so we can take a short break at this point. I have a friend, Fran Bennett. Fran is was a DJ, very, very actually famous DJ in Los Angeles, here in San Jose. Has worked all over the United States and is a musician, a very, very accomplished musician. And she sent me a little MP3 last week. She's been bored, and so she's been messing around with her guitar. She plays, I don't know, you know, probably 5 or 6 instruments, but really guitar virtuoso. And messing around with her instruments in her Macintosh computer, GarageBand, and she put together a thing called Fran's Arthritic Rap. Fan is a little older now, and so she's starting to feel a little bit of the pain. So she sent it to me, and I said, would it be okay if I played it on the air? So she said, of course. Runs about 2 minutes and 38 seconds. I think it's kind of cute. Didn't get it from GarageBand, but I'm going to give some major props here to my good friend Fran Bennett. How's that sound, all right?
I love it.
And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about what's coming up with our good friend Spanky. I forgot his name. How can
Kip a Dot.
Thank you. All right. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Robin Goldstein inviting you all to please stick around.
I think you're a refreshing gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
I'm 52 years old now and I'm starting to get arthritic. I gotta break it down now before I get too old to pick it. My hands are getting creaky, my body is getting sore, and there may come a day soon when I can't do this
so
no more.
Like this.
I'm working at the sport mart, my boy Chris got me a gig. Can't bounce the man a wrench yet, bad headlines getting big.
Word.
Don't care about the idols, Survivor, or the Trump. I spent all my time thinking, how do we impeach this chump? I was loud back in the 60s and I've been loud ever since. Since Nixon nominated Napalm, always trying to convince. I'm 52 years old now, hey kid, pick it up and try, cause I'll tell you when the day is done now. All I want one is quiet. Word. Oh, I still crank my rock and roll as loud as it'll go. From AC to the ZZ, through the firewall goes my toe. No longer when I see stuff do I feel I have to buy it. Cause I'll tell you when the day is done now, all I want is quiet.
Yo.
Word.
Yo.
Thieves all through the government, thieves all through the store.
Word.
Thieves keep running everything, now just like before.
Yo.
Thieves tax all your money, sell your jobs way overseas.
Yo.
Every single one of them a soulless, dark disease.
Yo.
Keep the faith, we said back in the 60s, babe, remember?
Yo.
There may not be much flames left, but I know I see an ember.
Yo.
I can't believe I'm older, but I still got all the hunger.
Yo.
The battles must be fought now, though, by those who are much younger.
Yo.
I was loud back in the 60s, and I've been loud ever since. Through Carter, Bush, and Reagan, always trying to convince.
Word.
I'm 52 years old now, grab the flag, kid, run and fly. Cause I'll tell you when the day is done, all I want is quiet.
Word.
Oh, I still crank my rock and roll as loud as it'll go. From the Almonds to the Zappas, through the firewall goes my toe. I'm leaving it to the younger kids now, man, I can't deny it. Cause I'll tell you when the day is done now, all I want is quiet.
Yo. Word. Yo. Yo. Word.
We were right about the politics, but wrong about the drugs. Our country's being hijacked by a gang of godless thugs.
Yo.
They try to make us powerless, so there's nothing we can do. But we got the strength to beat them, baby, that's right, me and you.
Word.
We must gather up the populace and go and storm the gates. Cause poverty and slavery will come to those who wait.
Yo.
But my hands are getting creaky and my body's getting sore.
Yo.
We gotta organize now, for there's nothing left no more.
Yo.
I was loud back in the 60s and I've been loud ever since.
Yo.
Through Cheney, Bush, and Rumsfeld, always trying to convince.
Yo.
I'm 52 years old now, turn it up, kid, amplify it.
Yo.
Cause I'll tell you when the day is done now. All I want is quiet.
Yo.
Oh, I still crank my rock and roll as loud as it'll go.
Yo.
From the Beatles, through the Who, man, through the firewall goes my toe.
Yo.
I'm leaving it to the younger ones, but I'll always be proud.
Yo.
As tired as I may be, in my heart I'll always be loud.
Yo.
Serving the universe from the top of the Empire State Building.
Actually, it's a second bedroom with some bath mats taped to the wall.
And broadcasting loud to all time zones around the world in stereo.
It's a medium bitrate podcast. Oh, and it's mono.
This is
Schnauzer Logic!
Welcome back. We are 15 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic for this episode number 9. Robin Goldstein is here with Sean Meehan, John DeCoven. You having a good time with us today?
I'm having a great time.
All right. It's good to have you here.
I'm loving it.
That was okay music, eh?
Oh, I really, I enjoyed it.
I shouldn't say it like that. I mean, that was rocking.
Yeah.
She's a talented musician.
Yes. I thought it was very clever.
Yeah, very clever. And I like the beat there. And, I think she's sort of getting back into mixing, and she sent me a couple of versions of the song, and I said, you know, your vocals are a little down. Most people will be listening to this not through a stereo system, but they'll be listening to it like computer speakers and stuff like that. So she said that Zappa told her that you need to mix for the audience. And that was, and she forgot, you know, I mean, she knew, but she kind of forgot that. Yeah, so she went back and remixed. But you need to mix for whoever your audience is, which I think is...
I think it's probably very bright.
I think it's very bright. So there you are. All right. So people know that every week, you know, when we have the show, we play the sound of, you know, we say, and we welcome our good friend, Mr. Kippadada. And we play this sound effect. Now, next week is our 10th show. It's our 10th episode anniversary. And it's going to be a big show. A lot of great things are planned. We have a lot of people who will be calling in and wishing us a happy 10th episode anniversary. So we're very excited about that. That wasn't a joke. Why are you laughing?
I just think it's great.
Okay, good. I appreciate your support. And so I was talking to Sean, and Sean was actually with me when we interviewed Kip about 5 years ago. It was June 29th of 2001, so not quite 5 years ago. And I said to Sean, I think I'd like to get Kippadada and see whether he'd be willing to finish the interview that we never got a chance to finish. And so I wrote to Kippadada earlier this week. And I basically said to him, I don't know if you remember me, and I'm sure that you don't, because it's been so long and so far away, but we did an interview on KSCO many years ago, and let's just say it didn't go well, and it ended rather abruptly, and we're coming up on our 10th episode anniversary, and I was wondering if he'd be willing to do an interview. And he said yes, And I'll tell you a little bit more about what happened as a result of that conversation that we had. But before we get to that, I thought it might be useful to play a little bit of the background. Now, you have any memories of that? You were in the studio that day.
I was. And this, in some ways, was an act of kindness, a salute to something that I used to say frequently, the comedy stylings of Mr. Kippadotta. I would say that as a little catch line at various
right.
moments.
And where did that come from?
I don't actually remember.
Okay.
But in any case, one day, you and the producer of our show at that time, of your show.
Jody Lee. Yeah.
She and you, in some fashion, corralled Kippadotta to be on the program.
We did. And I have the audio here, and we'll play it for you now. It runs about 8 minutes, and we may stop it if we need to. I'll leave the mics open. You guys can comment on it, all right? And we'll see how it goes. So this is on KSCO Radio. This was the program was called Airplay. It was basically Schnauzer Logic with a different name. And this was the we came out of a commercial break at this point, and here's what people were able to hear.
Well, actually, I think you're going to like this next segment. This is Friday. It's producer surprise, and actually Jody and I conspired together on this particular surprise. This is a surprise for you, actually, my friend. Let me play a little something here. Oop, hold on, wrong thing. Let me play a little something here for you, and you'll. Well, wait, stop that.
Oh,
I still don't know how to use it.
My pants are down. And...
It is. No. Here's what I wanted to play. Here we go.
Bring him up with a nice welcome, Mr. Kip Adada.
Son of these.
All right, I'm going to stop it just for a moment. You hear that laugh?
It's a reverential laugh.
It's maniacal is what it is. It sounds like you're ready to take over the world with some kind of toxic gas, and you know that Jack Bauer is dead. Dead, I tell you, dead. I was very nervous from that point going forward. That's all I'm going to say. Have you heard this before?
No, I've never heard
of it. All right, here we go.
I'm looking forward to it.
But that still sticks out. I mean, that just causes parts of my spine to... here we go.
Mr. Kip, and welcome to AM 1080 KSCO Radio.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, you have one of my records or CDs or something.
I went to Napster, Kip. I got to be honest with you. I went to Napster this morning and found that.
You're kidding.
No, I did not. Thanks so much for being on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, the comedy stylings of Kippadotta.
For years I've been saying that. Now I can really say it honestly.
Absolutely. Welcome to the airwaves of KSCO.
Well, thanks a lot.
It's thrilling to have you with us. Kippadotta is a stand-up comic who is world famous. You've been performing for forever, pretty much. I remember watching you on television as a child.
Are you trying to find out how old I am?
No, sir, I am not. I mean,
well,
no
what's
disrespect.
Your point?
I mean that you are a legend, and you're still alive. So you're a living legend. That's what
God
I'm trying to
almighty.
Say.
God almighty. Now, you're in Santa Cruz.
We are. Have you been to the area?
Oh, yeah, I've been to Santa Cruz. Very nice. I've been to Monterey.
That's right, Salinas.
As a matter of fact, I used to work. I wish I could remember the name of this club. It was a woman's name. It was a woman's name in Monterey. She had a nightclub right on the main drag there, right on the water, down mm-hmm. the old Cannery Row. And this nightclub was a woman's name, and she sang in the club. And she brought me in from Los Angeles to perform at her nightclub, and she would open for me with her band, and then I would go up and perform. And she lived in a brick house in the country, in the hills or in the forest. And I was invited over there late or early one morning after work. And as I approached the house, my headlights hit the chimney of this brick house, and the chimney of this brick house was shaped like a huge Coke bottle. Hello?
Yeah, no. It's just like being in concert again. We're listening. I'm listening to you.
Well, you sure are.
Well, I'm fascinated.
It was a riveting story.
Yeah, I mean, we're actually listening. I'm sure you don't get that kind of respect from the audiences today, but no. So it was a Coke bottle chimney.
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe one of your listeners knows what the name of that nightclub was, because I sure as hell can't remember.
479-1080, 477-1340. If you guys remember the name of that nightclub, I'm not originally from the area. I'm an East Coaster, so
anyway,
I don't...
Anyway, I left there. I closed the engagement and left. And a couple of weeks later, I read in the paper, this woman and her husband had both been murdered in this house.
Oh, my God.
And it was a great big, now listen to this, cocaine scandal.
Oh, God.
Remember I said the chimney was shaped like a Coke bottle?
I do, indeed.
These people were pretty arrogant.
They were flouting it.
Yeah.
Well, you're still performing these days. You're going to be at the Ice House coming up in about a month?
I am. I'm going to, and before that, I'll be, I don't have it up on my schedule page yet, but I'm going to Atlanta, Georgia, in the middle of July, and then in August to the Ice House, and then in September to...
To
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, yes, right.
My website, since since we've already plugged Napster, thank you. Thank you, by the way.
We got, I was able to find...
I don't want you to say anything else about Napster.
Okay, I shan't.
Because what you're doing is giving away my product.
Well, how can people get your product legally?
Well, let me think for about 2 seconds. Wow, my website?
Yes.
My website?
Which is www.kipadotta.com.
Yeah.
KIPADDOTTA.com.
Or if they haven't had a chance to pull over and write that down, they could search Kip, and I would be certainly in the first or second page of Kip.
You certainly show up everyone. Yeah, I was able to find that stuff on the web, but no problem.
But Napster is a big problem. It would be as if someone were able to get their hands on your paycheck before you did.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went out and spent the money and said, oh, gee whiz, you know, I got your paycheck. Boy, did I have a great time. Thanks.
Well, I was married, actually.
Yeah. Kind of like that.
Kind of like that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, the other side of that, not meaning to argue, I don't normally pick an argument with my guests, but the nice thing is I think it actually can expose people to material.
Oh, stop it.
That they wouldn't otherwise have access to.
Stop it. I was putting the cookie back.
Okay.
Stop that.
Well, I wouldn't have had your audio this morning if I didn't have Napster, so maybe they should just make it for professional use only. And the other thing I found was obviously from the Dr. Demento tapes. They're big fans of the Wet Dreams song that you have. That's, I guess, on his...
Is
that okay.
Him?
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, the comedy stylings of Mr. Kip Adotta.
All right, I'm going to stop it here. So we can call the body 5:56 into the interview. I have listened to this again and again and again and again and again. I cannot understand exactly what it was that I said at that moment that caused him to hang up right then. Clearly, he was unhappy about Napster, which I understand, right? And I get the economics of that a lot better now. I'm smarter than I was certainly back then. But I don't understand why the Dr. Demento thing. You think it was a delayed reaction?
You know, I maybe it was just you compounded it unknowingly.
It must have been unknowing.
By bringing up some raw topic
that
you were unaware of. You didn't realize how deep you were into the minefield at that point.
Like maybe he got screwed by Dr. Demento as well.
It's possible. And I did not ask him about that today. Oh, well, we'll go into that. But I didn't ask him about that today because I really wanted the interview. I mean, he's been doing this for 35 years. He's got a lot of information. I wanted to get the information from him. I thought that'd be interesting. And it was. It was very entertaining. We only got a couple minutes left. Let's play the rest of it because nobody had ever hung up on me before or since. So,
oh my God, he really hung up.
Yeah, I think he really did.
He was angry.
He was upset.
I guess.
Well, you've upset Kip Adotta.
Oh my God,
you're in some big trouble.
I guess I am.
I can't imagine how this could have happened.
I don't know.
It seemed like such a wholesome show. I wonder if he knew that I was doing the program with my pants down.
I think Jody shouldn't get him back on. I wouldn't upset him. I wouldn't upset him anymore.
It was April the 41st.
This is from the...
Being a quadruple leap year, I was driving in downtown Atlantis. My Barracuda was in the shop, so I was in a rented Stingray, and it was overheating.
I didn't know it was that him.
So I pulled into a Shell station.
You know the song.
Yeah, they said,
yeah, of course.
I'd blown a seal. I said, fix the damn thing and leave my private life out of it, okay, pal?
It's Kip Adotta.
Okay.
Dr. Demento was a DJ.
While they were doing that, I walked over to a place called the Oyster Bar, a real dive. But I knew the owner. He used to play for the Dolphins.
Oh, well.
I said, hi, Gil. You have to yell, he's hard of hearing.
This is the first hang-up.
Right.
Ooh,
Was I being disrespectful?
I really don't know. I guess he had a real issue. It shows you how volatile Napster is.
As an issue, yeah.
In the industry, obviously, Napster gets people very upset. And I guess this was one of his sensitive issues.
I guess so. I certainly didn't mean to be disrespectful to
him. You had no intention.
No. No, I was thrilled that we were able to get him on. Jody, come on, sit down here. I was thrilled to get him on. The show has its energy today, though, doesn't it? It has that kind of feel. Get close.
If that's what you want to call it. I just tried to call him again, and I got his machine this time around.
He's not happy with
it. I apologized if we offended him in any way, and please give me a call back, and we in no way meant to...
No, absolutely. Absolutely not. I'm speechless. I guess
that was. Did you hear that hang up?
Oh man!
Did you hear that? I mean, fumble, click.
There was drama in the hang up. It wasn't, and that's a sign of a real professional. You know, when an amateur hangs up on you, it's just the dial tone dead air. But there was fumbling, there was bumping and banging. So he was letting you know he drew it out. And it was beautiful.
I don't know.
I feel like I've been hung up on by the best.
By the best.
We should have stopped at the point he said, I'm putting the cookie back. I mean, that was it.
I guess.
It actually brought me back into the booth.
Wow, man. Really?
That was an Olivier Award hang up.
The silence was deafening.
Shades of humble Brian the Great. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back on the other side. I'm going to compose myself and shoot up with some heroin. You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO, Robin Goldstein Airplay. Stick around. It's got to get better.
All right. That brings back some memories, doesn't it?
It sure does.
That was fun times.
It was.
So that was on a Friday. And the following Monday, I came in with this new sound effect, which I played. We did another 3 or 4 months there at KSCO. We've done radio, I think, almost every year, at least part of every year for the last 5 years, either on KSCO or as a podcast or a streaming radio program. I mean, I've done a bunch of different shows. And Kippadotta has been a part of every single show since then.
You know, even, what was her name, Jody?
Yeah, Jody.
She even foreshadowed, I mean, the hang-up right there, she said how great it was. Right? I mean, right there she said that was like Olympic hang-up.
Yeah, it was. Academy Award-winning hang-up. It was perfect. So you can imagine that I felt like I wanted to close a circle and finish the interview off with him. I mentioned at the beginning of this segment that what I did was I sent him an email, a very apologetic and respectful email, because if nothing else, anyone who's been doing stand-up for 35 years and is stuck with it for 35 years deserves more than a measure of respect, and he's had more than a measure of success. In his bio, he's been on The Tonight Show 34 times. You know, they don't. You may get one shot.
That's a lot of spots on the show.
You know, you may get one shot, you may get two shots, but if you're no good, they ain't bringing you back. I mean, there was plenty of people for Johnny to pull from, but to pull somebody back 34 times, it's a big deal. So he deserved props, proper respect. And you mentioned during the thing, you knew the song. You didn't know it was Kippadotta, but you'd heard the song. He became famous kind of in a couple of different ways. Send an email off to him. The same night, I got an email in response. So the email in response said, yes, I've already heard about this from Terry Semel. Give me a call and we'll set it up. And I looked at the email and I thought, one of two things are going on. Either he's confused me with somebody else, doesn't know who I am, or someone named Terry Semel has told him that I've been using his hang-up for the last 5 years, and he's been waiting around for me to finish the interview. Couldn't tell what the deal was. So I wasn't able to get back to him immediately, and I wrote to him. The next day, he wrote me again, and he said, did I write back to you? Because I think he, at this point, realized maybe he had responded to the wrong person. It was clear that maybe I wasn't the person he thought he was going to be writing to. And I wrote back to him, and I called Sean, and I said, I really want the interview, but I don't want it under false pretenses. So do I tell him that I'm not the person that he thinks I am, or do I just kind of roll along with it?
I hope I didn't just say roll along with it. Just was I that insincere and that Machiavellian?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
But remember, you're the one that laughed that kind of evil, sardonic...
Was it that evil? Was it, or was it just a laugh of immense pleasure?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it would be like if all of a sudden on the phone for me was Ben Stein. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
you would laugh like that.
Yeah,
okay, so it was kind
incredible.
Of, it was joy is what you're saying.
It was joy.
Delirious joy.
It was not mockery. It was not.
All right, well, then I stand corrected. Listen, a lot can change in 5 years, and I stand corrected. All right,
no kidding.
There you go. A lot can change in 5 years. I stand corrected. But I could still take you, my friend. I could still take you. So he wrote back, and I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to cop to it before we do the interview, because it's no fun doing an interview with somebody and then finding out they didn't want to do it. That would be fraud, and I wouldn't want to do that. So I wrote back to him, and I said I had, wanted to continue the interview, and I would call him. And I called him yesterday. No, 2 days ago. No, yesterday. Shit, I called him yesterday. And he called me back. He was very nice, called me back. And we went through his situation. He didn't remember hanging up on me. Not that, of course, that was a big point in his life, although it was a big point in my, that was not a major milestone for Mr. Kip Adada the way it was for me. And so he asked me what it was all about, and I explained to him that, I'd basically been young and stupid, and I think I probably went someplace I shouldn't have gone in the interview. It wasn't a very good interview. And anyhow, I wanted to, we're doing this program. We had the 10th episode anniversary, and would you be willing to do it? And he said, sure, and wanted to do it this morning. And then said to me, do you know Terry Semel? And I said, no, I don't. I figured, well, this is my opportunity. And I said, no, I don't. He mentioned another name. He said, do you know Greg Harrison? It was some other name. And I said, no, I don't think another person either. He goes, I must have confused you with somebody else. All right, I'll speak to you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. So he was very willing to talk to me. So here's what I did. And for any of you listening out there who are doing your own podcasts, here is the key to a successful interview. Prepare the fucking questions in advance. Don't do it by the seat of your pants. Sit down, learn about the interview subject. I went to his website, IMDb, looked in the news groups. I found out a whole lot of stuff about Kip Adada, where he's been, what he's done. And then I actually wrote down questions in order that made sense, taking him through his career, talking about all kinds of different things. And we spoke on this morning for an hour. We spoke from 10 to 11. We talked about comedy. Kip Adada does his rendition of the version of the joke The Aristocrats for us.
Oh, that's
on
great.
The interview.
Uh-huh. On the interview.
That's worth it right
Kip,
there.
Kip Adada does The Aristocrats. But we were talking about comedy and what was funny and what have you. And I asked him about if he'd seen the Albert Brooks film, Looking for Comedy in the Muslim World. Did he think there were differences in cultural interpretations of comedy? And then I asked him, I said, there was another comedy film. Last year was kind of an interesting year for comedy films. The other one was The Aristocrats. And he started laughing. He hadn't seen the film, but of course he knew the joke. And he told a version of it. So we have Kip Adada's version of The Aristocrats. He's not a shock comedian. So it's not the dirtiest version that I've ever heard. But it's Kip Adada's version, which is really kind of nice. So it was a nice. So we'll have that.
Looking forward to it.
So we have a little teaser. We don't have that. But what we did do was, he was incredibly honest, which I thought was very refreshing. He wasn't giving us any kind of Jerry Lewis bullshit. He wasn't posing or anything. He basically calls it as he sees it. And I think if nothing else, you have to respect that from someone who's been around and seen an awful lot. And at one point, we started to talk about the business of comedy and comedy stores and trying to get laughs in comedy stores. And what I said to him was, because, I have the experience with going with Jan Karam to do stand-up in Fairbanks, Alaska, and watching how the audience gets drunk, it's not really possible to tell whether you're getting laughs, the audience is getting laughs. And he agreed. He said, you're right on the point there. A place where people are served alcohol is not the best place to perform comedy. You're not able to connect with somebody's minds. But the club owners, the people who own the clubs, really, they want people to be drunk. That's what they're looking for. And they're not always fans of comedy. And he said, they're not your friends. And I said to him at that point, Bud Friedman, who is a famous impresario of comedy, not as famous as John DeCoven, of course, but famous enough to have a monocle. If you get a monocle, you should put your monocle in the other eye. Bud Friedman has a monocle. You should put your monocle in the other eye, and then you can have kind of an eye off kind of. We'll cut that out. Well, maybe not. Maybe we won't cut that out. Maybe that's worth a... All right. Anyhow.
Kind of a dueling clinks.
A dueling clinks. Again. So I said, you mean Bud Friedman is not my friend? And I have a little bit of audio. This is a little teaser for what you'll be hearing next week. This is Kip Adada 2006.
So you're saying Bud Friedman is not my friend?
Bud Friedman.
Okay. I mean, you turned away from the mic. That was so fucking loud.
This wasn't happening until like 1 o'clock this afternoon. I truly apologize.
All right. We're going to try this one more time. Ladies and gentlemen... The comedy vocalizations.
So you're saying Bud Friedman is not my friend?
Bud Friedman. Bud Friedman, I don't know what the words I could come up with that would be low enough to describe Bud Friedman. And I speak for
not
a living.
Fan.
I don't know. I'll tell you a story about Bud Friedman.
Okay.
He does pay his comedians a paltry little sum. Mm-hmm. And every week, the comedians come by to get their check. The check is in a strong box. The strong box is on the floor under a desk. So you actually have to get down on your knees and crawl under the desk and open the strong box and take your envelope out. Now, that's how low can you go? I mean, what kind of a man would... This is what he thinks about comedians. And, no, not a good person.
Okay. No. But he does wear a monocle.
And Mitzi Shore. Mitzi Shore is the devil incarnate. She's raped and pillaged and screwed her way through life. And I happen to be one of the few people that in this business that can brag that he's never slept with Mitzi Shore.
One of the few men, you mean?
Right.
All right, that's my quote.
And I'll say something else.
Okay.
I'll say something else because I have no respect for her, and I don't care who knows it. her thing is this. She, and I've heard this from several good sources, she likes you to break into the house, literally break into the house.
A fantasy.
First you go and knock on the door, you beat on the door, and she sticks her head out of the upper window and says, "You can't come in. He can't come in."
It's actually a pretty good Mitzi.
Yeah. So you have to break the door down or kick the window in. And then you go in and you put her over your knee and you spank the hell out of her. And then you throw her down and do your worst with her. That's what she wants to be, you know, that's the kind of mind we're working with.
That's comedy, my friend.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, this is a great fucking interview.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait for the rest
this
of it.
This is a
I
great
mean, it's gonna be awesome.
Fucking interview. This was a great interview.
It'd be great if you could get Pauly Shore.
Well, I'm not looking to foment any problems here or whatever it was, but he was honest. He was open. He had, you know, it's funny.
So you're saying Bud Friedman is not my friend?
Maybe that needs to be a new sound drop. That needs to be a new sound drop. I told you, I met Bud Friedman. Jan works for Bud. Jan Karam opens for Bud Friedman. So I was down in Los Angeles visiting her, and she was doing, I think she did 10 minutes one night. She was working on some new material. She was going to be going maybe to the second Letterman show. And so Bud was letting her work out some material, you know, give her 10 minutes to go up on stage. And so when we were done, you know, she did her 10 minutes on stage, got gauged her interactions, made some notes. When we were done, Bud was sitting out at his special. He has a private table, and he was sitting there with his wife, and he called her over. So we went over and sat down. I sat down with me and Jan and I and Bud and his wife. And Bud took out his monocle, and he began to tell us this story. I wish I could remember what the story was at this point, but all I could focus on was the fact that he was wearing a monocle. And I thought to myself, you must have the money to buy a complete pair of glasses. I mean, this can't be a...
It's one of those bogus specials he got in on at Lens Framers.
I wouldn't even know where to buy a monocle at this point. I think you'd have to dig up a dead German. That's the only...
eBay.
eBay.monocle.com. I had no idea there was a not presumptuous, you know, but it was preposterous is the word that I was looking for. It was a preposterous guy, and he went through this whole bizarre story. And it was just paper, basically to focus the attention.
Kind of like somebody they have a pocket watch. You ever seen that?
Oh yeah, I got one of those.
I do too. Yeah, I don't like this guy.
Yeah, I don't either. We could turn his mic off too. All right, so next week during our big 10th episode anniversary, we're going to be playing the Kibadada interview.
That's going to be really
awesome. So it's going to be outstanding. We talk about comedy. He gave me a little clue. He said, you know what a hack is? And I thought, well, I kind of know what a hack comedian. He said, a hack comedian is somebody who comes up and out, and the first thing that the hack comedian says is, "Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?" He said, that's a hack thing to do. He said, first you entertain, then you introduce yourself. He said, you come out with a joke. You come out and you make the audience laugh. You don't make them prove to you what's going on. It's not a responsive kind of thing. He said, Diana Ross, right, when she's in Vegas, you start hearing her sing from behind the curtains, right? You build up the anticipation. I mean, he's a showman. He understands the business of show. He understands show business. He says, and so she danced, she sings, and you hear the sound in the audience. Everybody's anticipating. Then she shows up on stage, you know, in her gown and the glitter and the whole thing. And then after she does the first number, then she's like, how are you people doing tonight? And, of course, at that point, she's got him in the palm of her hand. I thought, you're fucking genius. That's exactly right. And he learned that from Red Fox. He hung around the Comedy Stores of Los Angeles, and he said Red Fox and Richard Pryor, they were willing to give him, you know, they gave him pointers. He was a young kid. He was trying to do his thing. I don't want to give his stories away, but, and I thought to myself, shit, that's advice that I could have used, right? And he said his whole act, he said, you need killer opening material. He said his material is all opening material. That's what he did. He's built a career out of basically having opening stuff. He wants to just have kill after kill after kill after kill after kill. He said, and he puts the funny stuff at the front. He said he doesn't bury the new material. He tries it right up front. He's a ballsy guy, you know? And we've talked about what's happened in comedy and what have you, and I think he's part of that transitional space there. So I called him old school. I said that, you know, people might refer to him as old school. I think he took a little offense to that, and I didn't mean it. Once again, I didn't mean it to be an offensive term.
You meant like old school.
I did. I said with a K. You know, it's old school. Well, I did. I said it with a K. I said, you know, kind of, you know, proper respect for people who kind of came up before. And I think he's worried about being tagged as being old fashioned. But that was not what we were talking about here. And at the end, what he said was, if I'm old school, basically, he said, you know, damn, I'm proud to be old school. And I thought, and well, you should be. All right, here's what we're going to do. You wanted to hear the band from Sweden, was it? No. Where do you want to hear those guys from?
From East Lansing.
East Lansing. Oh, Soapbox Paradox from East Lansing. That's a little pump, ska punk punk thing. All right, so we'll do that. Take a break. Come back on the other side. We'll talk about the sexiest woman in the world, and then we'll be out of here, all right?
Sounds great.
All right, you're listening to Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, Sean, me, and John DeCoven sitting in the hot seat today. And we're all inviting you to please stick around.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
Sun. And if you're looking, I got some too late.
problems and problems. Without him, like a wayward wind. And if you stop, you'll let me solve them too late.
Uninterrupted direct digital feed straight from the pleasure zones of your brain.
All night long.
What the hell is this?
This is Schnauzer Live.
Welcome back. We are 48 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Lodge of the podcast. Robin Goldstein, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney who bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, www.schnauzerlogic.com. Oh, I want to say big props to my friend Teresa, who gave us a review, a really nice positive review on the iTunes Music Store. You can go to the iTunes Music Store if you're listening to the podcast and you can write a review. We'd love to get more positive reviews. Also, we had two listeners who also volunteered to be guest co-hosts this week. We have Aaron, who is a listener of ours out in Michigan, I believe. And we have Mikey, who's someone that we all know, who's here in the San Jose area. And they both volunteered to be guest hosts, co-hosts this week. And obviously we had, like, we didn't, I'm looking at the list here, we didn't get to more of the stuff that we were supposed to here, so.
And of course, you're probably wishing you had picked them.
Well, no, 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 no. I'm so glad that you're here in the studio with your lungs and your phlegm. So I want to just say thanks to them for volunteering, and we're definitely going to get them on the air. We'll try to get maybe one of them to sort of, if not in the studio, then on the phone line next week. Parviz is not here next week, so we'll try to get one of them. And then whoever we don't get on next week, we'll get on the week afterwards. So if you want to be a guest co-host for a segment, send us an email, robin@schnauzerlogic.com, or go to the webpage, www.schnauzerlogic.com, and leave a little note. So there you go.
And nobody here knows the strange woman who wrote the review from iTunes. No one.
I do.
No, no, you
no, no, no. I no. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows her.
I do.
Okay.
But I didn't. I didn't ask these people to write the reviews. I'm asking the listeners now to write the reviews. But I mean, these were unsolicited reviews, and they were very, very nice. Because that's the thing. If you're my friend and you think that this sucks, then you just don't do anything. I have a lot of friends who are not doing anything. That's all I'm saying. Okay. That's all I'm saying. But I have at least a couple of friends who decided that they want to write a review. And so the check will be going out shortly. So there you go.
I didn't know you could write a review. I'll write a review.
iTunes Music Store.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We're all over the place. We had huge downloads this week. Looked to me like we had over 350 people download the program. Last week, maybe more than that. I didn't do the math, but it was
that's just from iTunes.
That's just as the podcast. That's not okay. People listening on the stream. That's not people who are listening on live365.com through Trans FM, or people who are listening on Shoutcast because we have our own stream. Those are just the people who are downloading the individual song files. So
cool.
huge. So we really appreciate that. We're growing, and hopefully we'll continue to grow, and that'll be a lot of fun. So we didn't get to a lot of things, but you wanted to bring up the Scarlett Johansson is Topps FHM Sexiest Woman poll. So let's talk a little bit about that here.
Well, my issue here is, as many of you know, FHM, which is sort of a young, hip, men's issues, entertainment.
It's like Maxim
kinda,
and
yeah,
Cargo.
Detailsy
stuff.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. I get them all. I do. I also get Bizarre and Vogue, and
right.
My mailman is
very,
very
confused.
Confused. My mailman is very confused.
Some say Mister, some say Miss. You know,
exactly.
You're the nice couple who lives here. So anyways, they just released the FHM people just released their list of the 100 sexiest women in the world. Now, I was confused initially because Esquire magazine just a few months ago released their sexiest women in the world. And there's a dispute. There is controversy apparently because there's a schism. And I don't know where you guys fall on this, but Scarlett Johansson, star of... I think there's some initial indications. Scarlett Johansson, star of The Island, star of Lost in Translation.
She initially was in Ghost World.
Ghost World.
Well, no, the last movie she was in was the Woody Allen. What was that movie?
Right, Match Point.
I think that's where she really hit it.
Lost in Translation. I watched it again last night.
Did you?
I did.
Okay.
I did. I melt every time I see her.
See, I found her the weak part of that movie.
I agree.
No.
Are we together on this?
Really?
We are.
I guess we're apart.
We're apart on this.
What do you know about a transsexual and how she thinks about women? Huh? Nothing. I'm telling you. Nothing.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing. You don't know nothing.
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 But she was selected as the sexiest FHM woman. Now, Esquire chose Jessica Biel. Jessica Biel, probably best known for her television role, ongoing longtime television role on the WB's Seventh Heaven, and then has been been in a number of films of middling success. Mm-hmm. She was in Stealth. She was in... What was the Elizabethtown? Was that a film that came out last year, Elizabethtown? Well, it was one of those films that was highly praised or thought to have been highly praised.
The Cameron Crowe film.
Cameron Crowe.
Yeah, it went away very quickly.
It did not seem to have any legs.
No.
But in any case, so she has, they both have sort of burgeoning careers.
I know you use both hands when you describe their careers.
Burgeoning
careers.
Careers.
Is she? I don't even know. Is she a blonde?
No. She is a brunette.
Okay.
So you seem offended by the Scarlett Johansson
selection. I am not
offended
by the Scarlett Johansson selection. She would not have been my selection, but I wonder what happened. Because last year, when I delved deep into the records of these two organizations,
yes,
trying to find the elaborate calculus or mechanism they used to determine this, they were on point last year.
So you think it's like the WWF and the...
Well, no, you know what
some
it is,
broke
you know
apart. What, last year, Angelina Jolie, FHM, Angelina Jolie, Esquire.
All right.
Well, they were united.
You know,
now, this
we need to
year
bring
it's
the belt,
chaos.
We need to bring the belt
well, you
back.
Know, you know right. what it's like, and I don't know if you remember this, but college football used to have the two different ranking system. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
No. Okay.
Gay. No.
No, gay. Okay. Well, they used to have two rankings, and you'd have like USC being ranked number one by one. And
right.
Right? So that created a lot of controversy.
That
just
did.
Not with me, it did.
Not with Robin.
I lost no sleep
well,
about
Well, bottom
that.
Line is my top choice for number one year in, year out, whether she's there or not, is Halle Berry.
A solid choice. I'm sure probably made both lists.
She did. She did. She was certainly on the list I'm looking at here from FHM.
Yeah.
Where was she there?
Let's see. So Scarlett Johansson was number
besides
one.
Helene, of
Angelina
course.
Jolie was number two. Jessica Alba, number three.
Oh.
Jessica Simpson, number four.
Oh.
Marge Simpson. No, Kira. Sorry. Kira Knightley, number five. Halle Berry, number six.
Ew.
Jenny McCarthy, number seven. Maria Sharapova and Carmen Electra were tied for number 8 and 9, and Terry Hatcher was number 10.
Okay. There are issues I have there. Keira Knightley, very pretty. I'm waiting to see how she looks when she gets through puberty. She is a lovely girl. I guess one of the reasons why perhaps I'm a little taken aback by all of this, and it's a sign of my age, I'm sure. I'm wondering how 20 and 21-year-old girls, because I believe Jessica Biel is also very young, in her very early 20s or something on that order.
Just thinking about what you said about Keira Knightley.
Well, I don't think
15-year-olds. She's the sexiest girl and sexiest boy. And that's
yeah.
You have something you'd like to cough to add to this? Would you like to hock up an opinion?
He's expectorating the unexpected.
Not at this point, thank you.
But I'm just saying that I think I'm 41 years old, and I think I am too old for these women. They don't. There's something missing. There's something that must be acquired.
Well, I'm 40, and I'm exactly the right age for those women.
Wait 12 months. You're going to be so sorry.
Okay. And that part of my brain that's, you know, not weird and fucked up, and it's a small part, I'll grant you that, but that part of my brain, I have no problem with Scarlett Johansson.
Really?
Yeah. She's young and inexperienced, but she has this... I'll tell you, for me, what it is. She's not anorexic.
No.
She is curvaceous.
Yes, she is.
She is bootylicious. Is that a word?
She's got booty.
She's bootylicious. Yeah. And she has, I don't know, but like Bill Frist, I can usually do a diagnosis from television. I'm a Bill Frist kind of doctor. I went to the Bill Frist School of Medicine. We can teach you. Ooh, I smell opening for next week.
It's a correspondence course, which is convenient.
Watch it on DVD and get your grades in the mail the next day. I would bet that Scarlett Johansson probably has a much higher level of estrogen in her body than many other actresses today. There's just something very womanly about her.
There is.
And I think that may be what tipped the judges, no pun intended. Judges.
It's very possible. I noticed that I saw Scarlett Johansson on Saturday Night Live.
You can't say the J, can you?
Is it Joe Hansen?
I think so. Well, not like Joe Lieberman.
Well, I think it might be.
Who also made the FHM list.
Or Joe Mama. Joe Lieberman's so fat. No.
Scarlett Johansson was very funny and very attractive on Saturday Night Live, but I don't know. I guess I need the...
She's like a college student.
Yeah.
Well, you got Terry Hatcher in there.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that the list is devoid. What scared me, I think, about this list, too, is I didn't know about 60 names out of the 100.
Yeah.
There are models and celebrities who I had no familiarity with at all.
You still get an erection without any kind of blue pill?
I didn't even, you know, even when I use the blue pill.
I'm getting an erection right now.
You got nothing to worry about.
Yeah. Well, you know,
it's just a magazine.
Sean, I think what you're worried about is not knowing those women that's starting to make you feel older.
Yeah.
It's not the women themselves. It's the idea of not knowing who they are. So you just need to start watching more crappy movies.
It's just, I spend so much of my day watching things. You know, I got to watch Bonanza and Gunsmoke.
Murder, She Wrote.
Well, you know, only if it's a bad episode of Perry Mason do I go to Murder, She Wrote. And I just...
You got the Matlock box set, don't you? Okay, Grandpa. Thanks for sitting in.
Hey, later, could you come over and set my VCR for me? Because I'm having a hell of a time, and I don't know how my remote control works.
Is it a Betamax? Reset the Beta?
I don't know. Are those the ones with the big tapes or the little tapes?
Well, I don't think you have anything to worry about. I'll tell you when you know that you're getting too old. Parviz and I actually had this experience a couple of years ago. We went to see the film Mean Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Which was the Tina Fey movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to an afternoon show because he'd gotten off work early and I snuck out of work. And we were the only guys in a theater full of, I don't know, 15-year-old girls. And I felt That's icky. Bad. I felt icky. I thought, there should be a special showing for us. You know, they give you a poncho, whatever you need, you know, but just there should be some kind of special showing.
Tina Fey. Now she was hot.
Yeah, but she's not Jessica Alba hot. She's not even Jessica Rabbit
Alba
hot.
Jessica Alba does nothing for not Jessica Rabbit.
All right. Well, you know what that music means. We're out of show, my friend. So listen, first of all, let us give us a round of applause and warm thanks to John DeCoven, who came all the way down from Pleasantville.
Can I give a quick plug? I got
Please,
no plugs
of course.
In.
Plug away, my friend.
Check out my website, laughalotproductions.com.
All right, we'll put that on
all
the website.
One word.
Okay.
If you're in the...
You got new content up there all the time?
New content.
And a
all
mailing
the time.
List people can join?
Mailing list.
It's worthwhile doing. Yeah.
You can see my new... I have a new controversial commercial I was in on my website.
Want to check that out,
for
all
Sir
right.
Speedy.
Cool.
And you can see the show schedule.
All right.
And we'll have you up there, too, of course.
That's fun. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. We'll play Win John DeCoven's Money again.
Absolutely.
And thank you for not being sick.
Yeah. I come with no IVs, no tubes, no catheters. I'm here independent of any tree with some bag of solution hanging from it. I was ready for comedy.
And you delivered.
And I didn't deliver.
You stood and you delivered. No. You were terrific. We'll see you next week. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Big 10th episode anniversary.
It's going to be a hell of a
Dada,
show.
We got...
I don't want to be a stickler, but I believe in the last episode you said you were going to stop numbering your episodes.
Yeah. I don't pay attention.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Anyhow, listen, thank you guys very much for being here, and thank you out there for listening. As always, show up, pay attention, tell the truth, and don't be attached to the outcome. I love you, Mom. I miss you, Dad. Have yourself a great week. Have some fun. We'll be back next week. Stick around. No, go away. Take care. Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.